T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. It's a Friday. We made it through the week. And there's a lot going on. Today is one of those fast and furious Fridays. A lot to talk about regarding the Green Bay Packers getting ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts. And the naysayers are out in heavy, heavy, heavy duty. Heavy duty today. I was up early this morning. I was downstairs working out, and I had the television on. I'm flipping around, and I'm watching Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. I'm watching some on Fox, and then I turned over to ESPN, and then there's the Packers. So I'm like, okay, I turned it up. I'm listening to it. And, man, nobody believes that the Green Bay Packers are a good football team. They believe Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. But all of them basically said the same thing, that the Packers enjoy it now. It's not going to last. Not going to last. A lot of people picking the Colts to win this weekend, too. Packers don't have a good enough defense to stop the run. Davante Adams, obviously, ailing coming into the – we'll find out later today whether or not he's probably going to play in this contest. Did not practice yesterday. But there is not a lot of belief in the Green Bay Packers when it comes to them being a good football team, a Super Bowl-capable football team. Even though right now they're sitting atop the NFC – Although you got Seattle got a win last night. And I tell you what, that was a hell of a game. That finally we got a Thursday night game. That was beginning to end worth watching. And you were looking for another Hail Mary. Just never happened last night. But that being said, today the comparisons are, and I don't necessarily agree with a lot of this when it comes to Seattle being the best team. Seattle's defense sucks. I mean, last night they got after Kyler Murray and Dunlap got the final sack, the guy that they traded for because they wanted to get better. So it was a little apropos that it happened that way. But their defense is still not a good defense. They've given up a lot of points. But the big thing last night was they didn't turn the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, if Russell Wilson, who redeemed himself last night after a couple of bad games, but if he doesn't turn the ball over, if he doesn't get passes that are tipped, or if he doesn't, you know, fumble the football on a sack, if he's more secure with it, chances are they're going to win a lot of games. It's getting the turnovers that have put them in harm's way. Same thing with the Packers. I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay game. The Packers don't turn the ball over. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw the two picks, chances are it's maybe a different outcome, or at least a more competitive game, that's for sure. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Really good time last night on the Bill Michaels Huddle presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Andy Herman, Ross Uglum, PackerReport.com joined me last night. And those two guys, when we came down to our picks, they picked the Indianapolis Colts to get the win. I was picking the Packers to get a win. But we all agree there's two keys to this game. And this game, you can talk about perimeter players, you can talk about wideouts, you can all of that. Doesn't matter. Because this game's going to be one in the trenches. Can that defensive front get to Aaron Rodgers, or can the Packers offensive line keep that defensive front off of Aaron Rodgers? Can they do anything to open up some holes in the run game? And then the opposite side. Can the Packers stop the run, and can the Packers put pressure on a guy that gets rid of the ball really quick in Phillip Rivers? That's it. You're going to win this game in the trenches. Period, end of story. In most games, you can pretty much throw a large amount of contribution to the trenches. In this game, trenches, period. That's where it's going to be won. Because if Aaron Rodgers stays upright and it has time to throw the football, they're going to win this game. If he doesn't, they're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game in the same fashion they lost to Tampa Bay. They're going to lose this game in the same fashion they ended up losing to San Francisco twice last year. Same thing. Same thing. 855-830-8648. Today is a Prediction Friday, so I want to get your thoughts on this upcoming game. And if you see some other key to this game, some other key to the Packers getting a win, you know, let me know. But I'm firmly in belief that this morning, when I kind of went over this thing again, and after my pick last night, I thought, no, you know what, trenches. I was up this morning, and just a little while ago, I was watching the show Get Up on ESPN. I told you I was flipping around. And it came to Ryan Clark and Mike Greenberg and Bart Scott, and they got into this discussion. Bart Scott and Ryan Clark, both former players, they got into this discussion about the Green Bay Packers. And the question was posed, because now Seattle got a win. And Seattle's defense isn't nearly as good as what they thought they would be after the trade. But last night, Dunlap gets the sack. So everybody's all over Russell Wilson, and they're all chasing that team again and chasing that dream of Seattle and the MVP and such. But when it came a question to are the Packers sitting atop the NFC, 7-2, mind you. 7-2, and you can only play the teams that are on your schedule. But 7-2, mind you, when it came to the question, are the Packers a Super Bowl team right here, right now? This is what this discussion went on, and give it a minute or so, but this is what they had to say. Ryan Clark, Mike Greenberg, Bart Scott, this is what they had to say about the Green Bay Packers.
To me, the Green Bay Packers are and also ran. We will remember them. We would think that they were a good team. We'll talk about them in the offseason to see what they can do to take that next step. But this team doesn't win the championship. This team doesn't win the Super Bowl. And when you watch them play defense, now they're missing some of their corners. They still continue to get ran through, as we saw with the Jacksonville Jaguars and James Robinson. And they are so heavily reliant on Devontae Adams to make plays offensively. I just don't believe that this team has enough. And you talked about it in the offseason, Greeny. They need to do more. They need to add more. Bart, everyone came on this show. They thought they had arrived. They felt like, you know what, with the people in the locker room, we can win. And they're wrong. And sometimes when you're wrong, you waste the great career of one of the all-time great quarterbacks in this league. And that's what we're watching with the Green Bay Packers. They're good enough to be talked about. They'll be good enough to be a factor, but they'll be sitting at home watching the Super Bowl with us because they won't have what it takes to make it there.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think it is exactly right. To quote the great Danny Green, the Packers are who we thought they were. They were someone who needed to add someone in the draft to help, yeah, and they didn't. And they needed to add someone at the trade deadline, and they didn't. And so they will be right where they were last year, good enough for Aaron Rodgers to take them into the playoffs, but not good enough to win it. And if it's me, I'm frustrated with that. Bart, what do you think?
Well, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting a different result. And the problem was, it wasn't that they needed another receiver. We were fine to live with that because it looked like Lazard was becoming a great number two. But the fact that they can't stop the run, that opportunity to make a trade for Avery Williamson, the Pittsburgh Steelers thought that they needed somebody at that position. They decided not to. And then what's going to happen is where you just take the San Francisco 49ers and their dominant run game away last year and how they dominated the Packers in the playoffs, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the bench and on the sideline most of the game trying to wait to get on the field to try and make a play.
There you go. Highly critical. And that's directed not at the Green Bay Packers coaching staff, not at the players. That is directed directly at Brian Gutekunst. Now, I want you, and I posted that over on the Facebook fan page, just put that in the back of your mind, okay? And let's see how the rest of this season plays out. Because if the Packers win this game coming up on Sunday, I think the narrative changes. If they are able in the trenches to do some things that we have not seen them consistently do, the narrative changes. If they get beat, if they can't protect Aaron Rodgers, if they can't stop the run, all of this will be right at the doorstep of the front office of the Green Bay Packers. It'll be sitting there. And we'll be saying the exact same thing come Monday. I think this is a big game. I think this is a key. This is not a playoff atmosphere or anything like that. But this is where you've got a good team with the number one defense. The number one overall defense. This is where you're going to have your test. And if you again fail, this is where you're going to point at the front office and say, you screwed up. I don't want to hear about the future. What Ryan Clark said is right. When you're wrong, and you are wasting the career of a Hall of Fame quarterback. And if you're obstinate and not going to do a damn thing, then trade him and let him go win somewhere else. Because you are not taking it serious enough to get to a championship. You're treading water, and you're hoping that a Hall of Famer can take you there. So I thought it was extremely poignant, and it was kind of the same discussion over on the NFL Network. But this was about as called out as it could possibly get earlier today. And I kind of looked at them and I thought, I'm going to look back on this sentence because this is the way I felt for a while. Okay, but as the Packers go on, and you can't deny they're 7-2, you can't deny the defense looked a little better. But again, you're talking about Jacksonville. You're talking about, you know, a rookie quarterback. You're talking, you get these victories, and then you start to see life through green and gold glasses because we're close, you know? And then when you get the national perspective and you look at that, you think to yourself, wait a minute, this is what I felt after they got beat by Tampa Bay. Wait a minute, this is what I felt after Dalvin Cook, who is still running on them. This is the same thing I felt last year after San Francisco. This is the same thing I felt going into the draft. This is the same thing I felt when I heard they made a trade and I thought Patrick Queen, an upgrade at the linebacking position, was coming here. This is the same thing I felt when I went into the draft and I thought, boy, there's one or two really good wide receivers that would probably fit and look good in this offense to if they could add a linebacker and another weapon. These are the same things I felt 9 months ago. And what they're saying is exactly the same. Nothing's changed. So I want to take that, and I want to put that in the archives, and we're going to hold on to it. But if they get a win this Sunday against a good defense, I think the narrative begins to change, and the way we're seeing Packers life right now through the green and gold glasses maybe becomes a little bit more of a reality. Give me your thoughts. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I want to hear from you. I want to get your thoughts on this. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. I kicked back a few of those last night watching the game. And we did some Facebook Live last night, too. Hey, thanks to everybody that was paying attention to that. We had a good time last night. And I want to do more. I want to do one this weekend, but I want to get your thoughts as to the best time to do it. So we'll do that as well. That's coming up during the program. That being said, thanks to Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer being the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Your thoughts, your reaction to this coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tell me how to live my life.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're with us. Our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Listen up. Listen up. They got some good stuff going on at Van Horn Automotive. And the Van Horn Automotive Group, they got their cyber sale going on right now. Right now through December 5th, Saturday, December 5th. Hundreds of vehicles marked down from Van Horn's locations all throughout Wisconsin and in Iowa. You can shop all of them from one place. That's vanhornauto.com. You can even create your own deal online, or you can set up an appointment. Stop in, get that new car smell, if you know what I mean. Plus, Van Horn's going to offer no payments for 90 days and enjoy seasonal service specials for tires and brakes and so much more, plus special service financing. And do not forget that Van Horn Automotive, they are the home of the 90-day test drive. I did it and loved it. I ended up buying my car And free oil changes, by the way, for life with every purchase of a vehicle or every vehicle you buy. And remember, every employee at Van Horn Automotive, they're an owner. They've got a vested interest in your complete satisfaction. So go to VanHornAuto.com for all the details, just like I did, about the Van Horn Auto Cyber Sale. It's coming up. Well, it's on right now, all the way through December 5th. So go to VanHornAuto.com. That is VanHornAuto.com. VanHornAuto.com. The Van Horn Automotive Group, family born and employee owned. Let's hit the phone lines because I think it's a legit conversation about the importance of this weekend, about the importance of the Packers moving forward this season, if they are a true contender, or if, much like we heard from the clip earlier from the four-letter network, Ryan Clark, Bart Scott, basically saying that the Packers are doing the same thing, ignoring the obvious, and thinking that just by changing nothing, the outcome is going to be different. So that's why this game this week goes a long way into saying, okay, you're going to get a win or not over a team that's over 500. So if you get beat up the same way you did against San Francisco, the same way you did against Tampa Bay, the same way you did against Minnesota, and you can't stop the run, and you got same things, same problems, then the pattern becomes real. The reality is there. If they're sitting at home watching another Super Bowl, that means that front office has wasted yet another year of Aaron Rodgers by doing nothing. Let's go to Tim listening to us in Oshkosh. Tim, how you doing today? What's up?
Hey, Bill, how's it going? Hey, you and those ESPN guys are spot on. Every NFL fan in the country knew before this draft that the Packers needed another weapon for Rodgers, and they needed a speedy, mean inside linebacker. They got neither through the draft. I believe that San Francisco is the only other team in history who have had back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and I think they won 5 Super Bowls. Here we sit with 2 Super Bowl wins, and I think that's all we're going to get. Even if the Packers win Sunday, I still don't see them going anywhere in the playoffs. If a team takes away Devontae Adams, you know, what are the Packers going to do? I mean, and they're right, and you're right. It's the GM's fault. I mean, I just don't understand it. For one thing, I don't understand why they hired Gutekunst. He worked under Ted Thompson for all those years. Why did we think we were going to get somebody different? I just don't get it.
Well, that's where this whole thing – appreciate the phone call, and I thank you. First of all, he's internal. A lot of times you do hire from within. You usually hire a guy that is part of an organization that's had success, and the Packers under Ted had success, albeit towards the end it wasn't the kind of success you wanted. And Gutekunst, while he learned a lot of things from Ted Thompson, is his own man. And he has at times been more aggressive. Look at when he brought in the Smith brothers. Look at when he brought in Adrian Amos. Look at some of the moves that he's made. Okay, you can appreciate that. But in this particular sense, when you see the obvious and you ignore it, thinking of the future rather than the present, hoping that just merely the present changes in some way, I think that this season, especially as wide open as the NFC is, to not do something in essence to hedge your bets, I think was wrong. But now, if they go out and get a win on Sunday, my narrative begins to change. Because then you look at the next time the Packers could possibly really, on paper, lose a game. Chicago offense sucks. Philadelphia stinks. Detroit, they're not ready for prime time. Carolina is a 3-win team right now. The next team that they would have to face that would probably have a record over 500 would be Tennessee. The Bears don't play this week. So the Bears are on a bye. They will face the Bears. That's a team over 500. But I don't really consider the Bears that kind of an over 500 threat, if you know what I mean. The Bears aren't a good football team. They're in a free fall right now. So it will be the next real challenge would be Tennessee. And then depending on what the Bears do the remainder of the season, the Bears at the end of the season. But they could end up being 14-2. That's legitimate. If they win out, that's legit because they will have beaten 2 really solid postseason bound teams. And that to me changes things. But if they get beat in the same course by Indianapolis, if they get beat in the same course because Derrick Henry runs all over them by Tennessee, and the same thing happens again and again and again, you can look at Mike Pettine all you want. But if it's the same thing, the inability to tackle, the inability to stop the run, eventually you got to look at the Jimmies and the Joes, right? That's why I think this game in so many different ways is important. Let's go to John listening to us in Atlanta on the radio.com app. John, how you doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you today?
Great. What's going on?
Nice. Yeah, I love this subject. I guess, you know, as far as Goody goes, I mean, we loved him last year because he brought in the Smith boys. The fact that they're kind of useless this year on some levels, I mean, that's not on Goody's. That's not Goody's fault. You know what I mean? They're just not playing good. But here's my question. I've always wondered this since probably 2011. And I still look back at that year that the Giants beat us in the divisional in 2011. That never should have happened. That pain still is one of the worst ever. But my question is, and have you ever wondered this? Like, with the way Favre went out, I mean, he probably should have got back to a bowl in 7. And again, Giants should have never came into Lambeau, beat Packers in 07 in that NFC championship. That was a horrible loss.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, you know, a lot of these guys, and ESPN, they nailed it. I mean, I think as fans, it's so obvious. And it does make me start thinking if Goody is just content with a first-round win and calling it a day, there must be some contentment with that. But back to my point. So when Favre left, you know, we look back and we're like, man, we wasted a career. He was 1-1 in Super Bowls. And remember the shoulda got Randy Moss? There's always shoulda, woulda, couldas. And it's like, how did we not learn with the way Favre went out and probably should have got back to a bowl? How did we not, as an organization, how did they not learn and say, okay, let's do things a little differently. We have another Hall of Famer, which will never happen again, I don't think. We got another Hall of Famer. Let's let this guy ride out into the sunset. Let's do something for him, at least in the last 3 to 4 years. And it's almost like they've learned nothing the way Favre never got back to a bowl.
It's weird. It's a great point. And here's the thing I'll say to that, and appreciate it. Take a listen, because remember, Favre's the one who threw the interception. Had Favre hit Ryan Grant over the middle, they kick a field goal, game over, they're off to a Super Bowl. Okay, so as much as we want to look at what they should have, would have, could have done for Favre, I agree to a certain extent on like the Randy Moss situation and such. That's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But Favre doesn't throw that pick to throw it, trying to force it into Donald Driver. You know, no big deal. They kick a field goal. Ryan Grant runs for 20 yards. They're right there. Boom, through the uprights. They're off to the Super Bowl. 2014 still sticks with me. That pains me as a Packers fan. Because until they get back to a Super Bowl, and even when they do, that's never going to get out of the gullet. That's always going to stick right there. Every time you think about it, it's like a bad verb, you know? It's always it's that nasty choke factor. Because that's always going to be there. But you don't owe anything to Aaron Rodgers. What you owe is, as a general manager, as a franchise front office, you owe it to do your best. If you are in it to win it, then damn it, do it. That's what you're in it for. And I don't necessarily talk about trades at the trade deadline. What I talk about is the direction of the team, that was the tone that was set on draft day. The tone that was set on draft day was not one of, we're going to fill some holes. We got quality talent here at the top of the draft. We made an aggressive move. We're getting a guy that we believe can be our middle linebacker up the gut. You got Kenny Clark. You got Adrian Amos. You got a good secondary. We need another guy. We need a guy that can really tackle up the gut. We can give you right up the gut quality talent. Didn't go after Patrick Queen. They picked a guy that, oh, by the way, will not play for 2 years. Now, he better turn out to be a Hall of Famer. Otherwise, that sucks. That's a craptastic pick. Because not only did you mortgage the future, but you didn't do anything for the present. When you started the clock ticking, you have 3 years of a guy, and you're not even pushing the chips to the middle of the table. You've got a Hall of Famer. And you're not fortifying that. I agree with you about Smith, Preston and Za'Darius Smith. I praise those moves. I have given the good, and I'll give the bad. Both sides of the coin. I just think that this is why I take that statement off of, and I don't do a lot with ESPN or Greenberg or anything. I don't care for a lot of that stuff. But when I'm listening to that this morning, I thought, I got to bring that to the table, because that was the way I felt. That was spot on. Real quick, let's go to Matt listening to us in Appleton. Matt, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you know, like so many people, the front office is extremely – it's been frustrating. But, you know, I'm not ready to change the narrative yet, even if they win on Sunday. I know the Colts defense is getting a lot of run. But, I mean, they played the Bears, the Jets, the Bengals. You know, so some of these teams that they played and got their statistics to where they're at aren't exactly offensive juggernauts with Pro Bowl quarterbacks. So even if they win on Sunday, I'm still not ready to say that they're going to be able to make a run deep into the playoffs this year. I just can't see them once they come up against a team that can pound the ball, stopping it. And it's going to be the same thing as the last few years, I think.
I appreciate it. It's not that I'm changing the narrative. It's that the narrative to me begins to change. And you're right about the competition they play. You're 100% right. They have not played these juggernauts by any stretch of the imagination. 100% agree with you. But neither have the Packers. And the Packers rank where they rank, defensively speaking. Overall, the Packers in yards per game. Packers are ninth. Packers are ninth, by the way. Top 10. But dive a little deeper. The Packers on yards per play are 20th. Rush yards per play, they're 12th. Rush yards per play, they are 23rd. Rush yards per game, they are 12th. Pass yards per play, they're 22nd. They're 26th when it comes to interception percentage. They are 10th in sacks. They are tied for ninth when it comes to first downs, giving up first downs and such. But when you look at the Colts, they're number one in yards per game, number two in yards per play, number three in rush yards per game, number three in rush yards per play, number two in pass yards per game, number five in pass yards per play, number two when it comes to picks, number nine when it comes to sacks. That's a damn good defense. I don't care who you're playing. Damn good defense. They got the stats to back it up. We'll talk more about this and a lot of rumors flying around out there about Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers as well. And we'll even touch on the Bucks just a little bit. Our buddy Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, the sports director over there, he's going to join us. We're going to talk with him about all three of these topics. That is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are hanging out with us. I'm trying to get it. Giannis just started a live video on Instagram. And if anybody's getting it out there, I keep trying to get it. It keeps trying to refresh and saying there's a problem. Maybe he didn't mean to do it, but I was trying to see if maybe he had something to say about this whole mess that's taking place. But, yeah, I keep trying to refresh it. It's not refreshing. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a problem. But I was hoping Giannis might speak about this whole Bogdanovich thing. Holy mackerel. That's turned into a mess and a nightmare. And Ersan Ilyasova waived by the Milwaukee Bucks, which makes the likelihood for this. He was one of the guys who was supposed to go to okay, Sam's telling me back in the studio. Joe's off today, and so's Evan. Sam's telling me back in the studio he's just playing some music. So, he's not saying anything then, right, Sam?
No, it's just him singing and kind of singing along to whatever song he's listening to right now. Okay. Just typical Giannis.
All right. I thought maybe Giannis would come out with something deeply philosophical regarding Bogdanovich and investigations and such. And okay, I'm wrong. I was kind of hoping. Let's do this. Let's bring in a guy that should not be singing at all, as a matter of fact. Usually when I kind of stalk him and he's in the shower and he's singing, it's pretty bad. Kevin Holden from CBS 58, the sports director over there, joining us now. Kevin, how you doing?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head, man. I I have gone anywhere from scaring people to causing people to call the authorities when I try to sing. So we probably should stay away from that.
Absolutely awesome. Whenever you can get the police to bust down your door while you're all sudsed up, that's a good day at the office right there. I don't care who you are. Hey, Kevin, let's start with the Bucks since I brought him up. This whole mess with the Bogdanovich deal, what are you making of this right now?
I mean, I need to get to Friday. It's not even that I want to. It's that I need to. I got to figure out, you know, exactly what this the fallout of this thing is, because depending on who you talk to, you've got four or five different stories about, you know, whether Bogdanovich agreed or didn't agree to this, or whether there's still a chance the deal could happen. Although, as you mentioned, with Ersan Ilyasova getting waived, it sure sounds like at the very least the deal takes some sort of different form now. It's a little concerning to me, although I thought for a little while it was just about maybe the NBA rules, just because the NBA's offseason rules are so bizarre. I mean, as you know, we watched the Bucks take a guy with the 24th pick, and the entire world knew that they didn't have the 24th pick and they would never see that guy. Like, he was, you know, not a member of the team. He never would be. So, you know, there are a lot of strange rules when it comes to, you know, how picks are announced and how trades are announced and how signings are announced. And I thought, okay, maybe it's just one of those goofy in off-season things with the NBA. And then we find out the Bucks have waived Ersan. So, yeah, I don't know. It certainly is not a good look, but I'm not trying to, at this moment, think that it's 100% a bad look for the Bucks. I think it might just be a bad look for the structure of the off-season. I don't know. You might have to ask me that again in 24 hours. I might feel different.
Right. Hey, also hitting you in the wheelhouse. Now, I had posted the Bleacher Report article, but certainly seems like things might be heating up for the services of Josh Hader. And I personally hate to see him go. I like the guy. He has been a very dominant back end of the bullpen reliever. There's no doubt about that. He's projected to earn about $5.1 million in the second year of arbitration, making him a more cost-effective option. But knowing he's going to get big money, the Brewers more likely to move on him if they get the right deal. So you tell me about the thoughts of Josh Hader being traded away.
It's if you're in a position like the Brewers are, both from a financial standpoint in terms of how they build the franchise and also in terms of how they look to the future and how they deal with contracts, it's probably going to end up happening at some point, and this might be the point. Hader's strung together a couple of just fantastic seasons, and it works. It's one of these things where the system works against the heart of a fan, and it's unfortunate, but it is the way it works in the game, which is if you are, especially if you're a small market team and you have a player who performs well, there's a chance that player doesn't end up with your team. And in fact, it's actually beneficial to your team if it happens. In the case of Hader, the Brewers would lose one of the best relievers in the game, but they have done a very good job over the last several years now of building good relievers, even from within. I mean, Corey Knebel and his, you know, at the top of his game, Jeremy Jeffress at the top of his, Devin Williams this past year. The Brewers have been able to find relievers. They can fill in the bullpen. So this may be the time to cash those in on Hader, as bad as it is, as sad as it is, and get what's in return. He can help you for the future. He can help you either stock your system or get you quality major league talent right now. So it's sad, but I think it may be time.
What do you think and what do you make of Matt Arnold being promoted to the senior vice president and now general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers? And you've got David Stearns going to solely the vice president or president of baseball operations now. I look at it as this way teams can't come calling, because it's not going to be a lateral move unless you want to make him the president of your baseball operations. It's somewhat of a smart business move by Mark Attanasio, but give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually all the way on board with our buddy Andrew Wagner, who mentioned this on Facebook. He said it's a fantastic thing, all except that the chances of catching Matt around the batting cages in spring training and being able to just kind of shoot the breeze with him, that's gone now because he's in a different position. But yeah, I think it's, first of all, you love to see good things happen to good people, and Matt is good people in a lot of different ways. He brings a lot to the organization as well. and he would have been a tough guy to lose. And I think that's it's a good move on their part to elevate him to a higher role. He certainly deserves a higher role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any tie-in whatsoever with David Stearns having been approached recently, by the Mets. Maybe David was like, okay, look, if I'm staying, then can we make sure that Matt Arnold stays too and try to keep this thing intact? But Matt's, that's another good baseball mind. And if you have a successful front office, it's usually more than one person. Usually that's right. A group of people. It's a good move to keep him around.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And I didn't even talk about the Matt Arnold side of things. I'm more, focused on the David Stearns, keeping David Stearns around. But you're right. When you keep around the brain trust, so to speak, and that's able to stay intact, especially after years of working together and how it functions in conjunction with the manager on the field, it's a very good thing. I want to move real quick to this game this weekend, which is the reason I get you on, but I did want to address those other two topics. This Colts team, defensively speaking, even though they haven't played some of the level of talent that's tops in the NFL, is still a very good defense, and they can run the football. They've got a quarterback that gets rid of the ball rather quickly. Big test for the Green Bay Packers. This would only be their second win over a team with a record better than 500. What does a win in Indianapolis mean this weekend?
To me, it's maybe the first time all year that I'm thinking of the Packers in terms of what January is going to look like. I have a hard time talking playoff preview for a September game, unless it's like a Super Bowl rematch or something like that. I have a lot of trouble thinking in those terms in September. By November, you feel pretty good about the way, like if somebody's 6-3, as the old saying goes, they are what their record, tells you they are. So this is a good team. It's a road test, and it's a team they don't see a lot, the old phrase of uncommon opponent. This is one of those litmus tests for me. If the Packers do well, especially defensively, if they can hold that part of it up against Philip Rivers, which they definitely did not do in L.A. last year against that same quarterback, if they can do that this time, then I start to think, okay, they can do this in January. They can do this in those first couple of playoff games. So, this is kind of a corner-turning moment, easy for me to say. You're not facing the Jaguars anymore. This is a team that, if they were in the NFC, you could see them in January. So, yeah, this is, from a test standpoint, this is as good as it's been in a while, and I'm very curious to see how this works.
Kevin, enjoy it. We'll talk again next week, pal, okay?
It sounds good. Let's go enjoy this weekend before we start piling up the snow, because it's coming soon, right?
Yeah, I don't even want to think about it. I hope not. Give it to me at Christmas, and let's go back to 85 and sunny on New Year's Day, and then I'm good to go from there. Good stuff, buddy.
I'll talk to Drew once he's done with his set of push-ups.
Please do. And he's flexing his muscle and staring into a mirror. Good stuff. There you go. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Check out our friends over there at Quick Trip. They have take, heat, and eat meals right now, just like mom would make. Swipe that Quick Rewards card when you say what's for dinner tonight or tomorrow during the game or Sunday during the game. Stop in and check out our local friends from Quick Trip. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers head to Indianapolis tomorrow to face the Colts. 3:25 Sunday afternoon under the dome at Lucas Oil Stadium. Devontae Adams dealing with an ankle injury. That means they'll need to rely more on wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who says he's proud of the block he threw against the Jaguars that allowed Devontae to score.
We do a lot of insert blocking where we go in and block the safety, so we just kind of try to set it up where, we can get them to think that we're going to go in and block them. Devontae was able to get open and go out and make that play.
I asked Packers receivers coach Jason Vrabel what MVS is like on the sidelines during a game.
A couple of times it'd be like the third or fourth drive, and I just said to MVS, hey man, you're winning your routes. Like, keep your focus, keep digging. He always just shakes his head. He's like, I'm good. Don't worry about it. So there's never like a selfish you know, part of him whatsoever. He's a team guy.
Colts quarterback Philip Rivers beat the Packers when he was still with the Chargers last year, 26-11. Packers defensive coordinator Mike Pettine.
It's always a challenge to go against Philip, just, you know, just because of how good he is at having an understanding of what you're in, and then having the ability to put his team in the best possible play.
That's Mike Pettine in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
I see your dirty face, hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God to justify.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Glad to have you today. David Stearns promoted to the president of baseball operations. Matt Arnold promoted to the general manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. We just got done talking about that a little bit with Kevin Holden from CBS 58. So kind of address that a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about this whole Bucks deal and the Bogdanovich deal. It's not dead, but it certainly has taken a negative turn, I guess is the best way to put it, between other teams complaining that there's tampering going on. They want to find out if the Bucks actually talked to Bogdanovich before this whole announcement was made, and then after the fact to try to get him to say he was going to opt out. So there was a deal written and this and that. It's just, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this coming up. Also, Chris Raybon, senior editor for the Action Network, coming up right around the corner as well. So stay tuned for that. Going to talk some betting lines and a big win last night for Seattle. Also coming up in the about an hour and a half from now, Eric Baranchuk at the Green Bay Press Gazette. We got our good buddy Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, is going to wrap it up in the last hour of the program today. So we got a lot upcoming. Stay tuned. It is a Prediction Friday. Also, we're looking for your predictions. Give us your predictions for the game coming up this weekend, what it means if the Packers win and what it means if the Packers lose. And in addition to that, go over to the Facebook fan page. I'd put it up this weekend. Going to do some Facebook Live. Let me know what you feel would be the best time, before the game or during the game coming up this Sunday. We'll do some Facebook Live together as well. So let me know what works best, and we'll try to accommodate and do it in that fashion. Go over there, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. More of The Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.